lot of things. So, okay. Let's a little bit of game. One of the things that we do by the Pesach Seder is we have Heseba. We have the Eid of Heseba. Heseba is a very interesting concept. I try to demonstrate to Marbelsky how exactly Heseba is done, where you use the table and you lean on the side. But there's a piece of Gemara that's something very interesting about Heseba. It talks about, I don't remember the context of the Gemara, but the Gemara, in the process of describing how you do Heseba and the different details, it says, a person who is doing Heseba can see the person in front of him, but cannot see the person in back of him. That is how the Gemara describes Heseba. You can see the one in front of you, but you cannot see the person in back of you. So, I think there's a very powerful drush in that concept. You see, this idea only has much more flavor if we would actually go to the Gemara and see how the Gemara makes the statement about when you're doing a Seba, you only can see who's in front of you, not the side of you. But that's what comes out in the Gemara. And what is the message? What is the message of the Seder? It is to talk to the people in front of you. Not to talk to the people. In other words, in front is symbolic of the future generation. Pesach, you don't talk. You're not having a conversation with the people who came before you. The inyan of Heseba is v'igadata levincha. You shall discuss Yitzias Mitzrayim with your children. Your children are those who are in front of you. They represent the next generation. The people behind you, your parents or the grandparents, there is no mitzvah for a person to speak to them, to relate to them. They represent the past. And the past is Masha Hoya Kvar Hoya. The idea of Pesach, let me try to look at it and say it like this. There's another time of the year when we sit in a very unique way, and that is on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, you sit on the floor. So it turns out that there really there are only 2 days a year when there is a unique method as how we sit. On Tisha B'Av, we sit in a unique way by sitting on the floor. We don't sit on a regular chair. Whatever we do during the entire year, we do differently. And by the Seder, we don't sit in the normal way when we eat. When we eat the matzah, we drink the alakosis. The method of sitting is unique. What's the chiluk? What is the chiluk between the two? So, I don't know when it talks about doing avelos. A person is sitting on the floor. Okay, now I can't. I don't have any right to this, but the fact that the two are very different, they're the only 2 days of the year when you sit on differently and you sit, and the Gemara says that when it comes to Heseba, the line of Pesach, the way you're positioned, at least in the time of Chazal, is where you can talk to the people in front of you and you cannot see or communicate with the people behind you, that would indicate that when it comes to Tisha B'Av, and when you sit on the floor, the purpose of sitting in that fashion is to communicate with the people who came before you. Tisha B'Av is Avelus. Avelus is to reflect upon what we lost, the past. And sitting on the floor, I don't know how that needs to be developed a little bit more, is a type of sitting where your concentration is focused on the past. The night of the Seder, Heseba, your focus of discussion is who people in front of you. In front of you is symbolic of the future generation. Okay, let's discuss another idea. This idea I found, and this comes from Rabbi Belsky. Found this very, very fascinating about the Ten Makos. Dam Sardeya Kimoro. He has a very, very fascinating take on why the Makos are broken up into three different parts. Rabbi Yehuda, Hoya Noisin Bohem Simon Datzach, Hadash Biachav. Why did Rabbi Yehuda give Simonim? So there are two basic reasons as to why he gave Simonim. Number one, he wants to make sure that no one makes a mistake and says the Ten Makos in the order of Tehillim. In Tehillim, there's a Mizmar that mentions all of the Ten Makos. And in that Mizmah, the Makos are presented in a different order. And
requires explanation. Why indeed is it so? Why indeed are the makos presented in a different order? Okay, but maybe one, maybe whatever the reasons are, one may think that when it comes to the night of the Seder,
Shalechem. Just in the right place. Right place, the right time.
Okay, a person may make a mistake. I think when it comes to the night of the Seder, the reason when you mention the 10 makos, you're mentioning the order that's presented in Tehillim, not the order of what's in the Torah. Therefore, Rabbi Huda Hoyenosim Bam Siman, Ratzachadash V'achav, don't make a mistake. Don't get carried away with Tehillim. The Iker in the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is to focus on the Seder of the Makos, the way it's presented in Torah by Moshe Rabbein. That's one.
What capital of Tehillim are they in?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know. It's a very famous thing. The Tehillim, I don't know, it's very famous. I'll show such famous is for me. I don't know anything. But this is a very popular answer as to why he gave Simonim. I mean, what is he coming to do? We don't know this. You don't know the 10 makas? The problem is, you know, there are 10 makas the way they're presented in the Torah. And there are 10 makas. David HaMelech Avis was a very smart, wise man. And he authored Tehillim. And he mentions the makas. And he mentions the different seder. Don't make a mistake. Make sure you stick to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, then.
Wait. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. Great place. In a great place.
Excuse me, sorry about that. Okay, then there's another top. Other reasons, is a very powerful lesson is that a simon is a mnemonic. It helps you remember. Rabbi Huda is coming to emphasize that, you know, there are a lot of things that we're going to talk about in the Pesach Seder. Pesach, Matzah, Maror, Begadah, Levincha. When the Seder is over, there's one thing you have to remember. Don't forget this. There are 10 makos. And remember the 10 makos. Sometimes it's not so easy to remember the 10 makos. Remember this. And it was very a simon is a mnemonic to remember. And that opens up a whole world of commentary as to from all the things that you do in the night of the Seder, the Yotzeisi, the Yitzalti, the Galti, the Lakachti. And there are 10 makas, and there are 4 banim, and there are 4 questions. And we learned this morning there are 20 blessings that you make at the Seder. 20 blessings. On the second night of the Seder, there are 22 blessings this year. And, you know, you go through everything. When you go through the whole thing, what should you remember when the night is over? Rabbi Huda says the thing that you have to remember are the 10 makas. Don't forget the 10 makas. That itself is a very powerful limud mostly because sometimes, you know, you think about the Seder, oh, such a wonderful experience. Oh, my grandchildren came. I had nachas that cannot even be defined in all the words of the world, all the words in the Latin, every possible expression cannot describe the nachas, the satisfaction I had of my grandchildren and the Seder and the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem loves us so much. That's very dangerous. Because when you think that Hashem loves you so much, you begin to get complacent. And you begin to think, I can get away with anything. No, so I did an Avera. I did this, I did that. I remember once, it was very disturbing. There was a person who, he was an immigrant. He had absolutely no knowledge. He was a very good heart. A very, very good person. He passed away. He came to America. And, you know, he was a Tinek Shemishba to the extreme. He didn't know the Aleph Beis, he knew how to read. I think a little bit later on, end of his life, maybe he learned how to read a little bit. And he became became observant to a certain degree. And then I met with Simchas Torah, and he was mamish, lapping it up. He loved it. It was, And he was drinking, and he was dancing. And, you know, he was very happy. And then after the davening was over, we went into the room, the lights were off. And I went to find the guy maybe to get the lights. So he goes, don't worry. Because of his simcha, he was in such a good mood, he turned on the lights. It's like, you know, I'll take one for the team. Because it was his It's not his fault. I mean, yeah, he has zero education. And the truth is, we're all like that. A person gets all worked up and all carried away with love and with ahava and chesed and the incredible things that we witnessed the night of Pesach that we go through. You can start being complacent and say, hey, so do an Aveira, a little this, a little that. Rabbi Yehuda says, comes night of the Seder, don't forget, Hashem punishes people for doing bad things. The Egyptians, they did bad things, they were punished. There were 10 makos. Remember, Hashem punishes. He doesn't just give reward, he also punishes. Don't get on his bad side. The Gilu rejoice Bira'ada with trepidation. This is the only thing in the entire Seder which we have simonim, and the purpose of a simon is to remember. And Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that there's one thing you remember when the Seder is over, remember that Hashem punishes the wicked. It's a chiddush, tremendous chiddush. Okay, so we've given over the two basic yesodis. There are 10 makos, and we have Rabbi Yehuda Hoyodesimam simonim. Number one, he's giving us simon to tell us this is the correct order. Everything about the Seder is Seder. The Seder, the essence of the Seder is order. Order in the court. And the simonim are presented in the Torah in one way, they are presented in Tilim another way. Make sure you do it and you give over to your children in the correct order. Number two, remember. There's one thing when you walk out of the Seder you should remember. Remember there were 10 makos. Hashem punishes the wicked people. Don't get on Hashem's bad side. And there's really a third reason why he gives simonim. And the third reason he gives simonim is opens up a world of commentary, which every single mefarish that you've ever heard of has his own take on it. And so does Rabbi Belsky. And that is, if we wouldn't have Rabbi Yehuda, we would say all 10 are just, they're all the same. There's 10. You go from 1 to 10 and that's it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not the way it goes. There is 3, 3, and 4. There are different categories of Hashem's revelation. There is the first 3, the second 3, and the last 4. They're completely different worlds. Don't look at them as just 1 to 10. Ba'asar ma'maris niva ilam. Asar sadibris. It's 3, 3, and 4. So what are the 3, 3, and 4? So there are many interpretations. I want to tell you Rabbi Belsky, he says something elaborate upon it. It's very, 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 very insightful. The first 3, Rabbi Belsky says, all represent, Hashem made a statement that he will destroy the land. Hashem is attacking the land of Egypt. The first is dam, is water turns into blood. The Egyptians, they lived, their sustenance came from the Nile. They watered the fields, need irrigation. Every year the Nile overflows. Water is matter. It is part of the earth. It's part of their system. The second Makkah was Tzfardea. Tzfardea is also the Mayim. It's another, it says about Tivash, I take it back. You know what it says about the fire? It says Vativash, the earth stunk. Vativash ha'aretz. The frogs came out of the water. They covered the entire earth, and when the Makkah was over, they all died, all the frogs, and the Pasuk says that there was a stench in the earth. The earth was disgusting to the Egyptians from the dead frogs lying all over the country. Hashem was mevaze the land. He was mevaze the Mayim. The Mayim is where that's part of the country, the water. He was then mevaz of the earth, vativ hasharetz, and then came kinim, and kinim vatichas es ein haoretz. The kinim covered the face of the earth. You couldn't even see the earth. Billions and billions and trillions of locusts, but not locusts, kinim lice. That arbis later is the kinim. It covered, it says in the Pasuk, the kinim, the lice. Wait, what does it say? What does it say? Wait, I mean, what does it say? Look, Rabbi Tivashmir made a mistake. Let me turn to the page to make sure I get this correct. because we're getting to something very, very powerful. He says an idea that blew my mind. But let me just get to the let me get to the Makos. Okay, here it is. Okay, we have over here the 10 Makos. Okay. One second. No, I'm in the wrong place here. Let me see if I have a Haggadah here. Alright, I'm not gonna. Okay, we're gonna run out of time, so right now we'll just. Here's a Haggadah. It's not gonna help me anyway. Okay, Dam Ishimus Oshon. The Elohein Dam Tsardeya Kinim. Okay, so Kinim comes upon, and we have to go to the Pesukim to go find the Pasuk. Okay, we're gonna have to do some homework to go do. But the first tree he says is the earth. Okay, that's not the main point. And Mr. Rappaport, I encourage you. You're into the sun, you're into the sukkim. You'll find proof positive that the first three, the focus was on the earth. Now comes something very interesting. Now comes Oroif, Dever, and Shchin. What was Oroif? Wild animals. We're done with the earth. The earth we're finished with. Couldn't care less about the earth. Finished. Earth is finished. Earth is disgusting in the eyes of the Egyptians. The water is disgusting. The frogs are lying all over the place. There's a stench. And then the Kinim covered the earth. It covered, it also did damage to the earth. Even though the lice came upon the people, but it says in the passage that it relates more to the earth, and that needs a little more discussion. Now we come to three Makos, where Hashem is coming to attack the people, the human beings. The first is Oroif, wild animals. There are wild animals all over the place. They came out of the forest, came from all over the world, these Vildachai animals, and they killed people. The Shchin, the boils was a disease. Okay, it attacked people. People had boils all over their body. They were in pain and agony, their bodies. And what about Dever? This is very, very fascinating. Dever was a plague that killed only the animals. The plague did not kill people. That's what it says in Chazal. It says in the Pasuk. The Dever came and killed people. It killed animals. Animals. Not people. So the question is, how can... Okay, let's put that on hold for one moment. And then we come to the last tree. The last tree of Borod, Arbe, Choshech, and Makas Bechoros. This was a different type of makkah. This makkah of Borod, Arbe, Choshech, Makas Bechoros, it wasn't, the intent wasn't to punish. The intent was to reveal Hashem. It was a revelation of the Gilui Shechina. The Borod came down only Hayore as Tevar Hashem, brought in as animals inside. Arbe, the locust, I forgot already how all his proofs, the Choshech and Makas Bechoros that go together, there when Paro came to realize Hashem, we need to do our homework on this, okay? We need to do our homework and prove, if I get a Chumash Republic and find it right away, that the Borod, the Arbe, and the Borod, Arbe, Choshech, Makas Bechoros were all Makos which revealed Hashem's existence in this world. Again, the first three, it made the land of Egypt disgusting in the eyes of the Egyptians. The middle three attacked their bodies. They were physically harmed. After everything is said and done, after you do all the research, and we're going to trust what Rebelsky says, there's one very big problem with this thesis, and that is Dever. Dever does not appear to be a Maka that attacked people. Dever attacked the animals. Animals just died, but the people lived. So why is Dever in this category? So Rebelsky goes further. Later on, we go further in the Haggadah. We talk about the Yad Hashem, and we talk about the Etzba of Hashem. Okay, so where this is actually was before. Go back right before the Dam Tzardeya. It says that Hashem brought the Yod Chazaka. The Yod Chazaka, here it is. V'yavarti b'yaretz v'shayim b'layla hazza ani v'loy malach. V'yikesi chalucho b'yaretz v'shayim ani v'loy sadof. V'v'cholochei mitzvah meser shvat v'ani v'loy hashliach. Ani Hashem ani v'loy acher. B'yod Chazaka, with an outstretched arm, zo hadever. K'moshe nemar, how do you know it's the deverish? It says, hinei behold, Yad Hashem, the Yad, the hand of Hashem, Hoya. It's a very amazing word. Hoya is in the letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hoya, B'miknecha, will be against your animals, Asher Basoseh, Asher Basodeh, Basusim, Bachamarim, Bagmalim, Babakar, Uvatsoim, Dever Kaved Ma'od. Now what's going on over here? In this Smaka, in this Pasik, we're describing over here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did for us. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, B'yod Chazaka, Uvazroi Nituya, Uvamar Gadol, B'oysa V'moysim. And we mention over here the Yod Chazaka, and the Yod Chazaka, it's one of the 10 Makos. What? Why is Dever given such prominence when we read the Psukim of Bikurim, the Vidui Maisa, the book of Bikurim, that the farmer says in the Beis HaMikdash, when he brings his first fruits and he recites these Psukim, we do not mention any of the Makos with the exception of Dever. And in fact, all of the other Makos are called the Etzba Elokim. When Moshe did the mark of Kinim, so the Chartumei Mitzrayim said to Paro, this we cannot replicate. This is the Etzba, the finger of Hashem. Only a finger. And then when it comes to Dever, this is called the Yad, the whole hand. What's going on over here? So Rabbi Belsky says an incredible insight. And he says, an etzba is used in Tanakh to connote punishment. When you point the finger, it means punishment. Yad, it means a revelation of that Hashem exists. It's not just punishment. It's a much, much deeper, more profound expression of Hashem's power. Hashem reveals himself. Now, what does it mean in this context? So here we go. Okay, building up to the crescendo. When Hashem sent the Dever upon the animals of Egypt, the truth is, the Dever, the plague, should have jumped from animal to man. This is a very relevant thing in today's day and age, Corona. Okay, today, Corona, where did Corona come from? Where did it come from? Did it come, wherever it came from, I don't think anyone is debating the issue that it came from an animal. Now, which animal did it come from? So they tell us it came from bats. Some people, they say, if we follow the conspiracy channels, they'll tell you it came from a snake. Okay, it came from an animal. And this is a very, very big problem of bird flu. And there's different mad cow disease, and there was a very, very big problem in this world today, where we have disease in this world, and the root of the disease is not something that's natural to man. This is a disease that is only found amongst animals, and there's a very great danger in this world. It's the fact with the mosquitoes and swine flu and West Nile virus, bird flu, mad cow disease, corona, which supposedly came from bats or snakes. This is a very, very big problem that we're all living throughout our entire lives. We're always hearing stories about they're spraying for West Nile virus, they're spraying for this and that. We are afraid of diseases that jump they leap from animal and somehow get into a human being, and they can become lethal. And this is exactly what happened in Egypt. Hashem sent to the animals a dever. There was some type of disease amongst the animals. There was West Nile virus, there was corona, or there was mad cow disease, swine flu. And the people in the country, and the Egyptians, they were shaking in their pants because they realized when dever is found amongst the animals, this is the greatest sakana for man. And the truth is, when the mashchis went out, the dever went out, it had permission to go wipe out mankind. And what Hashem did was, He held it back. He intervened and prevented the disease amongst the animals from spreading to man. But really, al derech hateva, it should have happened. This was the ultimate makor. All of the other makors are called the etzba, finger. When there was dever and the animals were dying, and it should have been that the disease of the animals spread to man, and Hashem held it back, did not allow it to spread to man. This was the Yad Hashem. It was the revelation. The Pachad Mavis was right in front of them. The people were shaken to the core. When they had the boils, they were physically affected. Their bodies were pained. But Dever, the first one was Oroif, the wild animals attacked. Bears ate up people. Alligators, who knows what they swallowed people up alive. So they were injured. They were bitten. They were killed. Their people died. Dever, their minds were, it wasn't just a financial loss. Okay, the stock market went down today. Okay, I lost one of my factories. No. They were in terror. They were in lockdown. They were, it's like Rahman al-Stala, what's going on in the world today? Corona. There's a disease out there, a disease that's not natural to human beings. A disease that is supposedly only found by animals. And somehow it jumped, it leaped from an animal to a man. And whatever that means. And now it's contagious. And they were terrified. Their whole essence, their whole body, their whole mind was shaken up. We're afraid we're going to die. That is a maka on the goof. Terror was shaken up. And that's why it's not just called the etzba, it's called the yad. And not only is it called the yad, it's the only place in the whole Chumash where you have such an expression, Hinei yad Hashem hoya al miknecha. Hoya are the letters of Hashem's name, yud, kei, vav, kei, in a different order. The letters of Hashem's name, it's a very unique expression, only appears once in the whole Tanakh by Mak of Dever, pestilence, which is a makah that was for the animals. And yet, that makah, it revealed Hashem. It was a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very unique way, realizing Hashem's the control. And naturally, this makah should spread from the animals to us. And Hashem held it back. He held it back. But by Hashem holding it back, it was an incredible terror for the people. And so that's why in the psukim that we read, the four psukim that we read, we come to Biyod Chazoka. From all of the ten makos in the psukim of Arami Oyvid Adi, Ayer Mitzrayim, all the psukim that we read, and when we darshan, the only one that's mentioned is Dever. Because Dever, even though know, it's in the middle. You know, the whole question, what exactly is the sequence? This one goes back to what we said in the beginning, that David HaMelech had a different order. We have to go analyze David's order, because if you look at the Makkah, it's not so clear which one is the most severe Makkah. I'll give you another example. When it comes to the Makkah of Borod, Borod was Makkah number 7, I believe. Borod was number 7. And by Borod, Moshe says to Paro, Hinei, I will send, Hashem says to Moshe, I will send Kol Magefasai El Libuch. I will send all of my Makos into your heart when I send down to this world Borod. And Rashi on that pasuk says, from here we learn that Borod was equal to all the Makos combined. Okay, if Borod is equal to all the Makos combined, you would expect Borod should be the last Makos. Rashi, the part, Hine Anochi Sholeach is Kol Magefosai El Libuch. Excuse me, aren't we going in order? Isn't there a Seder? Isn't Dam the easiest one? And then it comes to Hadeo, it's a little bit more scary. And then it's Kinin, Locust, the lice, and then isn't there a progression of severity? Obviously not, and that's what makes the Makos that much more complex. The night of the Seder is Seder, order. Order has a life of its own. All the Hasidish and Darshan would like to say that there were four different Mahalchim learning Torah. This paradise. What is paradise? Pei, Resh, Dalid, Samach. What do those letters correspond to? Pshat, Remez, Durush, and Soid. Pshat is a symbol. Durush is either homiletics or the Droshes of Chazal. Chazal, you know, the Yod Gimel Midos Shel HaTorah Nidreshes, the Yod Gimel Midos, and then there is Remez. Remez is, you know, however you want to do, the esoteric thing like hints, Rashi Tevos, Gematrius, and then there is Soid. Soid is a Kabbalistic interpretation of the Torah. The Seder has three of the four letters of Pardes. Three of the four letters. Which letter of Pardes is missing in the word Seder? The Pei. Why is the Pei missing in the words of Seder? Because the night of the Seder, there is no simple interpretation. When you do other things in life, there's a simple interpretation. And if you want to be a Chacham, so then you'll go and you'll delve into a little bit more. You'll do this, you'll do that. But when it comes to the Seder, there's no pshat. Everything is in the category of drush, remez, and soit. And here, the more you learn about the ten makos, the more you discover there really is no sequence. There has to be a sequence, obviously, but the sequence is not in terms of severity. There's a different agenda going on in the order. And what that order is, I have no idea. But at least they have an appreciation that Borod, the pasuk explicitly says, was the worst. Hinei anochi shlech es kol magefasai el libuch. I will send, when the Borod comes down, hailstones. Inside was fire, and the outside was ice. And it's going to wipe you all out. This had the greatest impact, the greatest form of punishment. Yet, when it comes to Makkos Bechoros, isn't Makkos Bechoros the most, I don't know, it says that Borod was worse than all them together. What about Dever? Dever is a terror. We today, in this generation, based on what Rabbi Rabelski explains, I don't say this a little bit more than what he says, principles, probably all of the Makos, the 10 Makos that we can relate to, based on what Rabelski says, the most relevant for us is Dever. And boy, do we know what Dever is. And it's not, and what is Dever? Dever is B'miknicho Asher Basodeh. The people have farms, they have chickens, and they have pigs, and they have cows, and they have birds, bird flu, pachat, mamash pachat, the danger of the avian bird flu, it's mamash pachat b'chodem. And the corona, what's this corona all about? Bats, snakes, what's all about? This is dever, b'miknecho asher basodeh. And that is affects, it's that's the only one that it says the word the yad. All the other makos are called at most an etzba, a finger. And this is called the yad. And it's specifically this one that is highlighted in the Pesukim of Bikurim. And dever, it affects people. It shakes up their neshamas. The pacha, that it will jump, it will leap from animals to human beings. A person sees his life in front of him when he sees what's happening to the animals. And it was only because Hashem had rachmanus and gave a command that the disease should not spread with a spear. But the makkah itself was a makkah to a person. It was just a bracha that Hashem held it back. That was a very powerful lesson. See, dever was a makkah that it was like a threat. You have to analyze all the makas. You see, borrowed people had a choice. If you took your animals inside, nothing happened to you. Dever, at the end of the day, nothing happened to you. You were spared. But were you afraid? Because al derech hateva, it was allowed to jump from one to another. Alright, let me just do one more basic research from Belsky. Very powerful. It's not really what he says, but I'm trying to extrapolate. When you have the Dal Dabonim in the Haggadah, the Dal Dabonim in the Haggadah, everyone asks the question, we don't tell the Dal Dabonim, we don't respond to them what the Torah says. The Torah tells us exactly what to say to the four Dabonim. Yeah, when it comes to the Chacham, we don't tell him what the Torah says. The Torah tells us to say to the Chacham, what does the Torah tell us to say to the Rosh? V'amartem zevach Pesach. That's what the Torah says to tell to the Rosh. What does the Torah tell us to say to the Chacham? Let me turn to the page. I want to keep you. Be selfish. I'm very selfish, but I want to keep you here. That's Sach. There is it over here. Everything takes me so much time. Oh, here we go. Okay, here it is. What kishalcha vincha? What do we say? What do we tell the chacham? Tell the chacham, "Marav v'yamar vincha, avodim hayinu lefarav b'mitzrayim, v'yotzeinu Hashem b'mitzrayim b'yot chazaka, v'itin Hashem oisayis mosim gedol ram b'mitzrayim b'farav b'chol b'chol beisel leinenu v'oisanu yitzanu misham." We don't tell the chacham about the Korban Pesach. Yet, af ata emulai ki hilchos haPesach. What? The Torah tells you to say to the Chacham, Avodim ayinu lefaroi. Vayotzienu b'mitzrayim, vayotzien Hashem b'mitzrayim yod chazaka. So why in the world do we tell the Chacham, tell him about Korban Pesach? What does the Torah say? Tell the Rasha? You tell the Rasha about the Korban Pesach. We're all mixed up. V'amartem! Zevach Pesach u'Lashem asher pasach abot evnei shal b'mitzrayim b'nogves mitzrayim. What did Torah say to the Tam? You tell them this taka we say, v'yamartel b'chol yizek yod hod tzion Hashem v'shem yisav odem. D'sheni deo l'shul apsach loy b'avur zeh osu Hashem li b'tzeisi m'mitzrayim. Now we taka say to him. So why though when it comes to the Chacham and the Rosh do we not tell him what we so tell? Shabelsky says a lot of things about this. A lot of things about this, this whole thing in the Dalai, but one of the things that he says that he alludes to is something very, very fascinating. You know, there's a Torah Sheva Chassav and there's Torah Sheva Alpeh. The truth is, the answer to the Chacham is the whole Haggadah. Avodim, you know, we right away, as soon as the man is down, we right away say, Avodim, we answer the Chacham right away. The Rasha we answer. When do we answer the Rasha? Rabbi Yosef Haglili. Pesach Matsumara. Pesach, we quote the Pasuk that the Haggadah says, tell to the Rasha. So the truth is, we tell the Chacham what the Torah tells us, say the Chacham, and we tell the Rasha what the Torah tells us. However, the man, the Kineged Arba Bonim, is not the Torah Shebichsav. This is a directive from Chazal how to get the attention of your children. Before you proceed and respond to the Dalet Bonim with what the Torah told you to say to them, you first need to get their attention. If the Rasha says, Mo avodah zos lachem, and you right away say, Zevach Pesach ula Hashem, you know what's going to happen? He's not listening to you. How are you going to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of telling the Rasha, Vamartem Zevach Pesach? You know what you do? You give him a punch in the face. You give him a frask across the face, hake yeshinav, you humble him. You don't throw him out. You beat him up. And then after he comes up, he stops crying and he sits down. Now you got his attention. Now you proceed. Pesach al-shum. Al-shum she-posach ha-shabotim v'le Yisrael v'amartem zevach Pesach. The Chacham, when he says, what's going on over here? If you're going to start telling him, you know, we were slaves and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and he did this and he do what the Torah tells him to do. He's not interested. That's not what interests the Chacham. You have to tell the Chacham intellectual concepts in order to get his attention. Once you got his attention, now you can be successful in giving over to the Chacham the message that the Torah feels is the most important, appropriate message for the Chacham to understand. So we read the Haggadah, you come to the Dalabanim, and you give him the answer to the Dalabanim. This is not the end. This is not the answers. It's not what the Torah says you should do. What the Baal Haggadah says, Kineged Arba Bonim, the Torah, you give him the answers. This is from Chazal. They were psychologists, and they're instructing the parents what you first need to do to capture their attention, to draw them in. To gain their trust. And then when you have them in the frame of mind that you want them to be in, then you go in for the kill. And then you deliver to them the message that the Torah told you to give to each individual child. To the Chacham, and all of the messages that are found over there. And why that's important, that's several reasons why that's. And when you come to the Rasha, you're going to tell them about the Korban Pesach, you're going to mention everything they need to know. But you can't do that unless you have his attention. And the Rasha needs someone to give him a zetz. You have to break, give him a fras across the face and humble him and knock at his teeth. Not that he should run away. He's not going nowhere. The doors are locked. He ain't going nowhere. He's staying home. He's not running away tonight. He's staying home. But you give him, you shake him up. And now after you shake him up, you got his attention. Ah. Now let's have a conversation. Mechutzef. Now have a conversation. The Chacham, he only likes these, you know, he's queer. He likes technical stuff. So you give him a computer book and you tell him some technical things about the Korban Pesach and this and this man and all these technical things. You get him, you gain his trust. You engage him in technicalities. Oh, once you got his attention, you got him involved in technicalities, now you got it. Now deliver him a message what Hashem feels is the most important thing for this type of child to understand. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, this is going to be our last shiur in Haggadah. And I want to thank you very, very much for coming. You really made a difference in my life. Now, on Chol HaMoed, I don't think we're going to have a shiur. Chol HaMoed at night. Chol HaMoed at night, we're not going to have a shiur. We're going to take a break for a week. So Yiratz Hashem, next shiur at night, we will resume, which will be Monday. It'll be Ishruchag. No. When is Ishruchag? Is that when Achron Shal Pesach? When is Achron Shal Pesach? Achron is Shabbos, will be Sunday, be Monday. Fine, Monday. The Monday after Pesach at 7:15 in Yirtzah Hashem, we will resume with Rashi Ungulus and Parshas Acharimus. Okay, thank you very, very much for coming. I'm sorry for finishing late, starting a little late. And tomorrow will be Shiva morning at 9:30, 9:40. Shiva morning. But tomorrow night is Bidikas Chametz, so soon after Pesach. Zai Gezuf. Mr. Ms. Glatter, take care. Ablaza, have a good night. Ablaza. Ablaza, take care. Take care. Norman Forst, how are you? What's doing in Montreal?